Serena Dura. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is 8 a.m. Stay tuned next for Positively Revolting Talk Radio. This morning, Ani and Lynn will be speaking with David K. Johnston. Coming up next, right after these announcements. This KBOO program has been possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Mobilizing Local Culture, a University of Oregon's Arts Management Workshop in Portland, June 23rd through 28th, showcasing the ways in which local culture mobilized to make a difference in neighborhoods across the city. For more info, go to aad.uoregon.edu/summerintensive.
KBOO Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater are proud to present the May film in the monthly Sex Workers film series, Mr. Angel, on Friday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. Shot over 6 years, Mr. Angel is a documentary that chronicles the life of Buck Angel, a transgender advocate, educator, and porn pioneer. Again, that's Friday, May 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. More information about this film and the Sex Workers film series can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
And good morning, good morning. It is 4 minutes past the 8 o'clock hour here on this beautiful morning in Cascadia. We call it Friday, May 2nd. It's gorgeous, and I'm thrilled to be here. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are Positively Revolting, as ever. We hope you are, too. And we're very excited this morning to have with us David K. Johnston by phone. David is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He's an author and an expert on taxes, accounting, economic, and public finance and business. He's a distinguished visiting lecturer who teaches the tax property and regulatory law of the ancient world at Syracuse University College. And David, we are excited that you are with us this morning.
Well, glad to be here.
You are the author of several books, and most recently, you are the editor of Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. And that is where I want to sort of start off our conversation this morning. You note that for the average American worker, our incomes have regressed to the equivalent average income of 1966, which is a year near and dear to my heart. It's, in fact, the year I was born. But it seems as though perhaps in the intervening 48 years that we might, in fact, have, you know, gotten ahead a little bit. It seems that this is not the case for most of us, but in fact, the top income earners, the top 1% has seen income gains. Let's start there as we see the majority of Americans losing ground with their incomes, while a small percentage is making a killing.
Yes, well, actually the 1% together aren't doing quite so well, but let me just walk you through this.
Yeah, please.
In 2011, the average income of the bottom 90% of Americans was just $59 higher than in 1966. If we go ahead to 2012, it actually falls below that. So I'm going to do 2011.
Okay.
And that $59, I mean, would you notice if your income went up $5 a month? Probably not.
Right.
But that $59, let's measure that as 1 inch. Well, the 1%, how did they do if the scale is $59 to an inch? Well, their average income went up by the equivalent of more than 160. But tenth of 1%. Their income went up by over 880 feet. But the real gains were in the 1% of the 1%, the 16,000 best-off households in America. This is a group that Mitt Romney, by the way, is near the bottom of.
Wow.
Their chart would be almost 5 miles. So that's the way to think about this. 1 inch for 90% and 5 miles for the 1% of the 1%. And for people to have some scale of this, the average income of the bottom 90% of Americans was only $30,000 in 2011. $30,000. Now, if you're the threshold to get out of the bottom 90% was a little over 100. That was the average across the group, 30,000. Tells you how many people are way down in income.
Right.
To get into the 1%, you had to make about $360,000 or $1,000 a day. To get in the 10th of 1%, you had to make about $2 million. But to get into the top 1% of the 1%, you had to have $10 million, and their average income was about $31 million. $31 million average versus $30,000. And how this came about, this isn't, I mean, did the 90% of Americans over the last 45 years get lazy and stop working and all turn into drugged alcoholics?
If you listen to Fox News, they did.
Well, yes, actually, there's a lot of truth in that. Faux news certainly perpetuates that idea. And on the other hand, did the 1% of the 1% suddenly get incredibly smart? No, what's happening is government policies that almost nobody knows about take from everybody and redistribute to the top. If you can get a government rule that takes just a penny a day from everybody in America and gives it to you, at the end of the year, you'll have $1.1 billion. Well, I've exposed numerous rules like this that take a penny or 3 cents a day or a nickel a day and redistribute it to a small number of people. There's no government statistics about these things. I had to drag them out of the public record and find them. And by the way, none of the people in the industries I write about have ever been able to show I'm wrong about this, but, you know, the news media doesn't tend to write about these things.
Right.
When I was a reporter, I did, but I had to, push my editors at the New York Times every inch of the way to say this really matters. And they go, 3 cents a day. But that's $3.3 billion a year for the handful of people getting the money.
Thank you for doing the math.
Yeah.
Because apparently it's not being done much.
Yeah, the math is the easy part. Getting through the regulations and the books to find it, that's the hard part, is digging it out of the records. The math gets easy.
Hence, investigative journalism. Another dying art, it would seem. One of the things about this whole situation is how people, you delved on it just a little bit at the beginning, people are being villainized for having low incomes. And how did that sort of come about? Because it's just criminal to me.
People are being villainized for...
Well, a quote from one woman is, I couldn't help feeling like I was almost to blame for having low incomes or for being poor.
Why haven't we raised ourselves up by our bootstraps? Right.
Yeah, because you don't have any. Okay, but...
Well, the reason that incomes have been so down for so many people there are a number of them, but the really big ones are that, first of all, we have removed 56,000 factories in this country. And we've instead have those goods manufactured in China and Vietnam and other countries. Of course, that's been very good for the poor of China, but somehow I don't think that blue-collar Americans set out to say, I think I'll give up my hold on a decent life because the poor in China need the money more. So that's one. A second part is unions. When we conquered Japan... In 1945, and directed them to have a new constitution, we required them to have unions. General Douglas MacArthur said, you will have unions as part of the effort to be a democratic and reasonably equal society. But here, we have decimated unions. And as union membership has declined, so have incomes. When 37% of Americans belong to unions in the early 70s, about 80% of American workers benefited from higher wages. If you can get rid of unions, you can overall drive down incomes, and that's what we've done in this country. And then the minimum wage. I was a minimum wage worker in 1966. I was a senior in high school. I was married. I had a child. I managed to take care of my family, finish high school, and rent us a crummy little place to live. But we paid the rent, and we managed to eat and hang it together. Today, the minimum wage is 2/3 of what it was in 1966. We couldn't have made it. I don't know what we would have done if it had been 2/3. And so by driving down the minimum wage, we've also made people worse off. And, of course, everybody who is between the minimum wage and where it was back in 1966 is essentially worse off as well. So it isn't just people at the minimum wage. It's millions of people just above it. But a little number to keep in mind, the median wage, half of workers make more and half make less, has been stuck now since 1998 at a little over $500 a week. Hasn't budged. Half of all workers make less than $520 a week.
Well, and people have to supplement with many jobs. I remember at some town hall meeting that George Bush did at one point where the woman said, what about me? I have to work three jobs. And he's like, isn't that American? And apparently it is, but...
This is George Bush, who, of course, famously said in 2000 that his constituency was the haves and the have-mores.
That's right.
And that was true.
Yeah. So in this new book that I have out that I'm the editor of, Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality, I got very prominent people to contribute to this book. Senator Elizabeth Warren, Paul Krugman and Joe Stiglitz, two of the most prominent economists in America, epidemiologists and other people. And I edited their chapters to make sure that they're just readable in plain English to anybody. And what we do in Divided is show, here is how this inequality was created by government policy. Here is how it is being perpetuated and how it affects everything from your health, your longevity, what it means that we have 25% of all the people behind bars in the world here in America, even though we have 5% of the population, what it does to family, to how common wage theft has become. I mean, big corporations like Walmart and McDonald's have all been caught repeatedly stealing from their workers' pay.
Right.
Which should tell you a lot about how really awful the situation has become. People who have what are called primary sector jobs, they can't imagine theft of wages. I've had spoken to audiences where people go, what are you talking about? I get paid properly every week. I've never even heard. I don't know anybody that's happened to it. I said, it's because you don't know a lot of people with very low incomes.
Right.
But Walmart, the biggest employer in America, has repeatedly stolen from its workers.
Let's skip back to talking about that and exactly how that happens in just one moment. And right now, let's have Teresa and Grace join us to encourage our listeners to support community radio, to support KBOO, so that we can continue to bring you excellent programs like this, like Positively Revolting with David K. Johnson this morning. We are so excited that you are with us again, David. We have always enjoyed the opportunity to interview you because you, in fact, make plain sense out of our desperately, well, horrifyingly bad economic situation. And that is one of the reasons why KBOO is so important. This is the type of information that only an independent media resource is going to be able to give you, because faux news, it's just not in their best interest, is it? Good morning, Grace. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
You know, it sure makes a difference what you actually listen to, because I'm sorry to say that my coworkers at my union job leave the television on Fox News, and they come up with the dumbest ideas, and I've even heard them talk themselves down, not understanding, but I've heard them talk union members down, and you know, I just blow up at them. I say, man, if it weren't for the union, you'd be getting half this wage. You wouldn't be getting benefits, you know, and
yeah.
They're just like, oh, you know what I mean? Those union members, and I'm like, no, I don't know what you mean. We're all union members.
Oh, those union members.
Because the propaganda is everywhere, and you know, here's a breath of fresh air. Here's KBOO, where we can hear something not just different, but something that actually supports workers. Hello, and so
Hello.
We need you to join in, because that's how it's done.
And how you join is by making a phone call, and that number is 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm, and to the upper right hand side there's a donate now button that you can click, or just come on down to the station. What a beautiful day to, you know, drop off at 20 Southeast 8th and come in and, you know, get to see some of us and just and have, you know, become a member that way. It's a great way. We can do it on all kinds of levels, you know, $40. We can do a credit card. We can do an electronic funds transfer. I'm starting at $5 a month. You know, it's a very, very, very flexible options for you.
I think it's very smart that the staff has set up a sort of, well, party atmosphere here. I mean, we're all working hard, but, you know, we've got our croissants, we got our coffee, mm-hmm. we are enjoying what's going on. And you can join us on the phone right now, 877-500-5266. Let me give that to you again. The toll-free prefix is 877, then it's 500, and then KBOO, 877-500-5266. Spend 3 minutes on the phone with us, because when you do, we can set you up, and I would like to suggest that you pledge $10 a month, and Grace can tell you what you can get for that.
You can get Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality, edited by David K. Johnson. How about that? And he just happens to be the guy on the radio today. So you can get that book, and I think you can get it for a minimum $60 pledge. So that is a great deal. $5 a month, excuse me, you can get this book. So call us right now at 877-500-5266. This has all these leading economists, journalists, really looking at the upward redistribution of wealth and income in America, you know, just the way we've been talking about on the radio just now.
Well, and David Johnson has won a Pulitzer Prize. Did you know that? 2001 Pulitzer Prize for Beat Reporting. And I also found out that his middle name is Boyle. David K. Boyle Johnston.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
That all is beautiful, but right now I'm not supporting KBOO.
Yes, but we would like you to support KBOO. But the reason why we want you to support KBOO is because that you get all these little interesting tidbits of information, right?
That's true.
And which you don't normally get. So this really looks like a great book.
Yeah, so I'm just going to rock my tidbits, Ani.
Rock those tidbits.
Rock those tidbits, baby.
I just want to, in fact, encourage folks to go ahead and give us a ring.
Rock those all the way to the phone,
877-500-5266. Also, you can join us online at kboo.fm. And again, for your $60 contribution, Dave Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality, edited by David K. Johnston, written by leading economists. And I got to say, it's a fascinating read. I know a lot of people have this idea that, you know, if you really dig into economics, your eyes glaze over and everything's just sort of dull and lifeless. Well, it's not true. Economics is sort of that, it's one factor of our society. It's how we deal with each other, it's how we meet our resource needs and that sort of thing. So it's an important part of our lives. It's something that we should understand. It's something that we shouldn't just glaze over on. And David K. Johnston, as you just heard, has gone through and edited this book to make sure that it is, in fact, in plain English, that we can all access this information and understand how this growing wealth inequality is affecting us and how it's come into being. And moreover, what we can do about it.
And so if you want the book, just give us a call at 877-500-5266 and you can get it for a $60 minimum pledge. But we do want to thank someone. We want to thank Jeffy from Olympia, who called in and renewed membership. So thank you so much, Jeffy, from Olympia, too.
That's
Isn't
a wonderful
awesome?
Thing.
Yeah.
You know what's really fun to do is call in a $120 a year pledge. That's $10 a month, which you won't even notice coming out of your bank account. And that way you can get a T-shirt and the book. How about that?
Hey, that is a great idea. And we do have T-shirts.
And you can walk around showing everyone your boo pride as you, get yourself some education on the economy. It's a beautiful thing. It all works together. 877-500-5266. We want to return our full attention to David K. Johnston here. But before we do that, I'm going to be a little goal-oriented. What do we need to raise by 9 o'clock this morning, Grace?
We need to raise $225.
No, I think we probably need to raise more than that.
Well, no, we can.
Really?
Well, we can raise more.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, we're on our way, but we need a little bit more help. We could also maybe use a little bit, because we are a little behind on the membership drive, so we would love to bring it up.
Woo. Oh, goodness.
Okay.
Well, phones are happening, things are happening, okay. And what we would love to do is encourage your call right now at 877-500-5266.
You got it.
Five is my favorite number. I'll just keep spitting out the number
and
five.
Eventually, it will be just the right place.
It'll hit.
Well, you know, with this book, though we always do the news you're not supposed to know, these are the economics you're not supposed to know. And it's an informed person. You can be a little less depressed, a little less confused about what is going on, with this book, Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. And it keeps growing, folks, so it's best to know what is going on. And you can do that for a mere $60 donation. It's win-win. You get a great book by David K. Johnston that is eminently readable and extremely informative, and you get to be a member of this amazing radio station, which I bet that person from Olympia was listening to KBOO.FM, which you can also do. And you can also pledge there if that's where you would like to do it and you don't want to talk to anybody, you're still in your jammies, that's okay. Well, just go to our website, KBOO.FM, and click on Donate Today and select Positively Revolting while you're doing it.
You know, actually, that person from Olympia got a great gift to Shoe and Boot Revival Shop. And a $50 gift certificate. So if you
That's
would like
thing.
For a $75 minimum pledge, you can get a gift certificate to get your shoes fixed. How awesome is that?
It's very pragmatic.
It's very pragmatic. So, but you know
those
what?
Those shoes you really love, the ones you just
didn't get rid of.
And you can't. It's very hard to find people that actually fix your shoes anymore.
Absolutely. Actually, this has been a very popular gift. We've had several calls. I would imagine this morning. So you can call for that too.
Excellent. So I want to again return our attention to David K. Johnson. Thank you very much, Grace. Thank you very much, Teresa. We'll be checking back with you shortly. And welcome back, David.
Well, glad to be back. We raised a lot of money.
We're doing it. Thank you. And with your help, thank you so much.
And I want to make sure people understand that you are speaking at the First Unitarian Church next Thursday, May 8th at 7 o'clock. And, of course, the First Unitarian Church is downtown on Southwest 12th at Salmon Street.
Yes, I'm also going to be speaking Saturday, tomorrow, at the Salem Public Library.
Rightio.
Excellent. Good to know.
That'll be at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Well, Salem welcome Public to the Library. Pacific Northwest. It's been nice, but now it's going to rain. But that's another story. You know, it's this inequality goes just down to the marrow. In one chapter, The Inequality of Hazard by Frank Ackerman and Lisa Heinzinger, yes, indeed. It talks about how the poor live with much more even pollution than the affluent.
Yes, well, one of the biggest problems we have is we still have many children in America, for example, in houses with lead paint, and they have elevated levels of lead. This is especially true in the eastern part of the country. Nobody puts a toxic dump in Beverly Hills. You put it in places where poor people live. And the concentration of smokestacks that are putting out toxic materials and pollution from automobiles tends to be in those areas where people with lower incomes live, and therefore they have more asthma, more heart disease, more other problems because once we move these things away from the well-to-do, we don't spend nearly as much effort trying to make sure that we've cleaned up the pollution or prevented it.
I know in the Pacific Northwest, there's a sort of a radioactive kind of thing called radon that's in a lot of people's basements in certain places. And it costs money to even find out about it, let alone have it removed or do whatever it is you need to do to make it not such a health hazard.
Well, yes, radon is actually a problem in many parts of the country. I have a friend who's never smoked a cigarette in his life who has lung cancer, probably because of radon particles. The basic answer to that, by the way, is first detection and then flowing air through the space.
But I knew you would know what to do with that. So while we're on hazards, what about the health care costs? Affordable Health Care Act actually helped?
Well, it's not as good as it could be, but it has meant for millions of people, including one of my grown children, that they can get health care even if they have a pre-existing condition. And by the time you're 40, virtually everybody has a pre-existing condition. So it's a significant improvement. It's one of the reasons that the right wing is so desperate to kill it, is because they understand it'll be as popular as Medicare and Social Security. But let me give you an idea of how health care redistributes. There are 34 modern economies in the world. The other 33 countries all have universal health care. Portugal, half of our income, everybody has health care. Mm-hmm. Today in America, today and every day, 47 babies die who would not die if they were born in Sweden or Norway. In fact, 15 babies die who would be alive had they been born in Cuba, because those countries have lower infant mortality rates. Well, for every dollar those other countries spend to give everyone health care, we spend $2.64. $1 to $2.64. We have millions of people without coverage. And that cost is so big that in 2010, if we had had the French healthcare system, the best in the world and one of the most expensive, but still cheaper than ours, if we'd had the French healthcare system, we could have eliminated the income tax, because the extra cost we spent above what France spends equaled the amount of money raised by the U.S. income tax.
Wow. Once again, David, thank you for doing the math. You know, my folks towards the end of their life lived in Florida, and my mother's observation and many's, the amount of money that's spent on people that are really old, healthcare, and it was this little town they lived in, the biggest industry by far, it was this huge, huge healthcare I guess I laughingly refer to it as healthcare, but it was an enormous hospital that just went on and on and on. That was like the business in town. And that's the other part that seems unequal, whereas, you know, some kids can't get the crutches they need or a wheelchair, or that they were, you know, putting hips in, you know, people that were 93 years old, because right. somehow there's more money to be made there.
What we do is the functional equivalent of a company saying, we're going to fix up our 100-year-old factories instead of building new ones.
Yeah, and it
doesn't make economic sense at all. And many children, because they didn't have things like bad vision found, end up being either unproductive. Some of them actually literally end up being criminals because they can't function in society just because we don't put money into health care for children.
Right.
And, of course, now we've turned prisons into a business, so there's a profit motive behind it.
Yes.
We have a whole healthcare industry that is profit-driven. And if we ran kindergarten the way we run healthcare, then all of our concerns would be, well, why did boys get 6 green crayons today and girls only got 4? And what does that tell us? And how can we jack up the use of green crayons in order to make more money, even though the children's pictures might be better if they had a variety of other colors? The incentives are all wrong for this. And I'm not arguing, by the way, in any way against business or profit. I'm the co-founder of a small business that has 25 employees.
Well, this has nothing to do with profit.
Well.
It has to do with insanity.
Well, yes, that's right. I mean, we've gotten the rules wrong. In fact, my column today in Al Jazeera America is that remember the Enron price gouging that hurt Oregon, California, and Washington so badly 14
yes,
years ago?
Yes, you betcha.
It's coming back. If people don't speak up, Wall Street has figured out how to do legally what Enron was doing illegally. They are trying to get it approved right now in New England. And my column in Al Jazeera is about it, and it's very clear that the regulators are in their pocket. It's also clear from the news accounts that the reporters writing about it sort of understand what's going on, but they don't get the implications of it. And your electricity bills are going to go through the roof again if we don't stop this. But that's the whole drive in this country. You know, Wall Street has been systematically draining pension funds and other public assets to enrich themselves, and that's part of the story that's in Divided.
Yeah.
The meta story, the big story is, here's how this happened, and here is the wisdom from Adam Smith. There's a chapter in the book by him, from Plutarch, from Teddy Roosevelt, from Barack Obama, showing here's how this is happening. This is what's gone wrong in our society, and we can choose. We're a democracy. We can change this. If the 90% vote, they cannot lose, but they've got to vote.
I want to point out a chapter that really struck me by Chuck Collins and Felice Yeskel, which is called I Didn't Do It Alone. Now, Chuck Collins has founded Millionaires for Responsible Wealth, something like that.
Yes, and United for a Fair Economy, both of those.
Right. And we had the pleasure of interviewing him many years ago now. And I think that it's very clear to many of us that there is no such a thing as a self-made millionaire, right? That we are, in fact, interdependent on each other in this society. So when we hear those of in the extreme wealth brackets say, well, we're being taxed to heck and gone, you know, this is our money, we have earned it, and somehow or another wanting to ever more lower corporate taxes and lower taxes on the highest income brackets, it is anathema to actually how a good society is could be put together.
Well, we were much more prosperous when we had higher tax rates. When
right.
you have a low corporate tax rate, it encourages companies to withdraw money or not reinvest it. When you have a high tax rate, you want to reinvest because the government effectively picks up part of your investment. But the benefit to that is you're essentially creating jobs when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the idea that you did it on your own, I mean, I'm probably a poster boy for that. I grew up in a family where I had to go to work when I was 10 years old, and I have worked full-time since I was 13. When I was in junior high school, illegally, I worked 40 hours a week and went to school.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife and I both work, We're in the 1%. It only takes about $360,000 to get in the 1%. I work 60 hours a week, but I'm in the 1%.
Sure.
But I got there because there was a GI Bill I qualified for because my dad was 100% disabled veteran, and that's why I was able to go to college. If I were 18 today in the same circumstances I was in 1966, I wouldn't be going to college. There's no way I could have gone to college. The government invested in my family, keeping my father from dying for many years that he might have without it. And as a result, I was able to get ahead. We invest in people and we get a return. If we stop investing, we get a lower return.
Well, and so wasn't Representative Paul Ryan, I believe, he got through, his father died when he was young, and wasn't he supported by Social Security?
Oh, yes, and his family makes its money building highways for the government. And Paul Ryan's budget, I have just dissected repeatedly each year his budgets. They are immoral. They are designed to take from the many to give to the few. We got to say one thing for Paul Ryan and the Republicans who follow him. Unlike the Democrats, at least they have identified what they say is our biggest economic problem, and they have a solution. And the problem is very clear if you listen to Paul Ryan. The rich don't have nearly enough money. The reason we don't have jobs is the rich don't have enough money. And the way to get them that money under the Paul Ryan budget is also clear. You take from the sick, the poor, the elderly, the disabled, and children, and you give to the rich. He is essentially a socialist for the rich. And this idea that he and the Republicans are the champion of competition is absurd. As you know, one of my earlier books, which I appeared on KBOO about, The Fine Print, is about how businesses are working so hard to impose monopolies, take away consumer rights, and most especially get rid of competition, because the existing rich don't want competition. The whole strategy of the Republicans is to protect the fortunes of today and prevent the fortunes of the future. That's not what they say, but that is what their actions show.
Reverse Robin Hoods, if you will.
That's exactly it. Reverse Robin Hood. And indeed, some of the Republicans would reintroduce the forest law. If you lived in the ancient world and saw a rabbit or a deer, you could kill it and eat it anywhere until the British kings about 1,000 years ago decided that every twig in the forest belonged to them and you could be tortured and killed for picking up kindling wood so you didn't freeze. And that's really what's going on here with the Republicans. They want to restore the forest law and keep everybody in poverty who isn't already rich.
And on that note, let's look at a little distribution here. Let's look at a little wealth and income distribution and support for your community resources that are important to you. And we call that KBOO right now. This morning, we are focused here in your community radio station because, in fact, it is you that keeps us on the air. 877-500-5266. You can get a copy of Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality by David K. Johnston this morning. He's our guest here on Positively Revolting. And we have Grace and we have Teresa with us to let us know how we're doing and to let you know how you can become a supporting member of KBOO.
Well, good morning, and this is Grace. I'm here with Teresa. We're almost to our goal. We're getting there, and we would love to hear from you. And if you would like to call right now, and you could make a $60 minimum pledge and pick up this fabulous book, and which I just lost the...
Divided, the Perils of Our Growing Inequality.
Right. You can get this fabulous book by David K. Johnston, or call and ask for other... There are other options as well. But call and make that commitment to community. 877-500-5266. I mean, this is just such a great show. And you know, the things that we're talking about here is so important to our day-to-day existence. I know sometimes people think that economics is way out there, but it's really, really affects our world. And if you want to learn more, then definitely call in, get the book, and then keep on listening. 877-500-5266 is the number. You can go online to kboo.fm or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and just walk right in and we can get you set up. But we'd love to hear from you right now. It's so important to support community radio at this time.
Just a couple of minutes of your time right now, 877-500-5266. KBOO has definitely been an increasing part of the workers' fight back, and it's been more and more exciting to volunteer
Teresa, closer
here.
To your microphone.
And I really enjoy being here and doing this. And one of the things that really gives me a thrill is that 80% of our funding comes from people like you, people who are listening. And that makes us just indestructible when it comes to policy, because when we decide our own policy, we don't get it from the government, we don't get it from corporations. We do get things from local business. For example, Petit Provence has given us breakfast this morning. We're very grateful for that. You can find them at 4834 Southeast Division. Riyadh's Lebanese will provide lunch. 1318 Southeast Hawthorne. West Cafe at 1201 Southwest Jefferson will also provide food today. And we would like for you to thank those restaurants in your way as well. But right now we need you to call 877-500-5266. You know, billionaires don't earn their money. If you suck $10,000 in wages that 100,000 people earn and keep it for yourself, that makes you a billionaire. It also makes you a parasite. And this is becoming more and more clear to people. Well, I should say, perhaps it is just beginning to become clear to people just how badly the economy and our lives have been injured by extremely greedy people who have bought off all the politicians in Washington, just to get right to the point of it. But you can counter that with People's Radio. And to do People's Radio, we have to do it democratically, and we have to do it bit by bit, and that means you have to do your bit. We've pulled up to the pump. It's time to fuel up for spring and summer, and you need to call 877-500-5266. It's the right thing to do, and you know that you're the person to do it because you're the type to put your shoulder to the wheel, and you also know that others don't understand as well as you do, so it's up to you. 877-500-5266, and I think that you will enjoy having a t-shirt or having a book, and you'll enjoy a conversation with the person that you're talking to. Just 3 minutes, we set it up, comes in the mail. Couldn't be easier. $10 a month is what I suggest.
Really easy. You know, we want to thank some folks. Desiree from Portland is a renewing member. She just opened up a brand new electronic funds transfer.
Thank you, Desiree.
Very easy. And we also want to thank Sherry from Federal Way, Washington, who is a union member. And
all right.
She's calling, and she is a new member. So, and I would like to challenge other union members to make the call, because this is so important. And we really appreciate you union folks, because you are really helping in this battle. But give us a call right now, because we know you've got a decent job and you've got pretty good wages. So if you can call in on a $10 a month membership, we would love you.
I always we love you whatever you can you can join us with. We just love. But I do always encourage folks to think about giving an hour's wage every month. It's a way of sort of spreading things around in a way that makes sense to me. Anyway, I give an hour's wage every month back to KBOO, and I think that is a way to sort of, you know, share in the responsibility of supporting your community radio station. $20 a year is the minimum amount one can contribute to be a voting, governing member of Community Radio KBOO. I think that's a really important point. It's not that you're just donating and your money goes someplace and people do things and such. With your contribution, you get a KBOO membership. You get to vote for the board of directors. You get to actually sit on governance committees if you would like to help right policy and actually steer a radio station. We invite our members to do so. It is a membership organization, and it's a rare thing in media. So please do give us a call right now, 877-500-5266. Online, you can join us at kboo.fm and lend us your support. Give us your support and know that you get so much back in the ways of music that's inspiring and news and information that's relevant, that can keep us together and keep us informed of topics that are timely and relevant to our lives. Just like our talk this morning with, David K. Johnston. And we thank you, Grace and Teresa. We'll be back with you soon. But we are talking with David K. Johnston right now, and he is the editor of the very new book, Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. David is a distinguished journalist, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, in fact, author of several books, a regular contributor to Al Jazeera America and other publications. And we are excited that you are with us this morning, David.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
And that you are speaking tomorrow in Salem at the Public Library at 3 o'clock. And we know we have many listeners in Salem. Salem, hey, Let us hear from you, too. 877-500-5266, Salem. Support KABU. We know we extend our signal down to Salem. Please do see David tomorrow and support us today. Also, you'll be speaking on Thursday at the First Unitarian Church here in Portland, 12th and Salmon downtown, Thursday, May 8th at 7 p.m.
And you know, one of the reasons I was able to come out here is, in fact, support from donors. The Oregon Center for Public Policy, run by Chuck Shektikoff, arranged my two-week visit to Oregon. They were able to do so because of a generous donor who put up the money to cover my airfare to come out here and you know, related expenses. So if you want to have good public radio, it's something you've got to support out of your pocket, because commercial advertisers certainly are not going to do that. They want you to listen to endless streams of repetitive music.
Yeah, and folks, it doesn't have to be done by one person. Many, many, many people together contributing even small amounts leads us to our goal, which is wonderful.
Many hands make light lifting.
As Justin would say.
And it's true.
It's true indeed. I was reading the chapter about Hunger Games in Georgia and the and how any public assistance is they seem to be inching people out of that.
What went on in Georgia is just absolutely astonishing. I mean, the disregard for human beings. You know, when we see corporations develop anti-human values because the profit margin, the profit motive is wielded by managers to get employees to behave a certain way, we may not like it, but we can understand it. But government adopting these attitudes is just astonishing, and doing the very best they can to make sure that children go hungry. That's the kind of place Georgia is. Of course, remember, Georgia is a place where you can now carry a gun anywhere you go, where one of their leading congressmen is running for the Senate, called evolution the greatest lie from the pit of hell. And you can meet plenty of politicians from that state who believe things like, you know, humans, beings, and dinosaurs used to coexist. How we got to this state is it makes people, you know, I travel around the world.
I have friends from Georgia.
They laugh. Well,
I know.
You can tell us, how did this possibly happen?
It's a damn good question.
It's been incremental, and it just seems to have started. Ronald Reagan comes to mind. That seems
sure
like
why.
Something horrible went wrong in the 80s, but...
Yes, well, you know, we live in the age of Reagan, and a lot of my work has been showing that when Ronald Reagan changed the direction of the country, we really have gone off the rails. I mean, if Ronald Reagan's prescriptions, lower taxes and less regulation, by deregulation, by which he didn't mean less regulation, he meant less regulation on behalf of workers and consumers and investors and in favor of the existing owners or managers of businesses. If those things work, think about it. Today, we should be absolutely swimming in jobs. That was the whole idea that he sold himself on in 1980.
Right.
The New Deal was holding us back and denying us prosperity we should have. And we were so much better off back in the 1970s and 60s and 50s compared to now, particularly in terms of job availability, that it doesn't work. But why Americans don't get this is, I think, largely because too many of them listen to faux news, officially known as Fox News,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, truth is unheard.
Well, and Goebbels always said, if you say something seven times, it gets into people's heads.
I don't think he said seven times, but yeah.
Something like that. If you keep repeating lies, people start thinking it's truth.
That's right. And you know, on Fox News, generally, the only people who... they have on who would counter them are people who are not very good at doing what they're doing, so that they look like stumbling fools. And Roger Ailes, who runs Fox for Rupert Murdoch, and Fox, by the way, makes about $1 billion a year profit, has figured out exactly how to distort to advance his view of the world. And that people buy into this is astonishing. People believe, for example, that unions are the cause of our economic woes.
Yes, I've heard this.
Irony doesn't quite cover it, does it?
How is it the Germans require unions all the way up to the level of executives having unions, and they're doing just fine? Our European competitors
Canada, they all have unions. Japan, we require Japan to have unions for workers. Mm-hmm. How if unions were the problem, then our getting rid of them should have led to huge widespread prosperity. Instead, it's led to falling wages for the vast majority of workers.
Go figure. You know, it's astonishing how more people aren't seeing through that. But again, it's access to the information that is required in order to be able to make your own analysis and to actually get a good picture of what's going on and how things are working. I want to let people know what's coming up on KBOO yet this morning so that we can continue to stay informed together. At 9 o'clock, the APA Compass includes the program looks at severe bullying and harassment of Sikh American children, as well as an interview with Linda Uiki Absher, a hipster librarian, presenting her Angry APA Minute, Keep Portland White. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 o'clock, Shahid Hamid hosts It Takes a Village, and he'll be interviewing Portland soul singer LaRonda Steele. At 11:30, the Radio Zine will have a talk by Sarah Van Gelder. She's the co-founder and executive director or executive editor of Yes Magazine. She'll be talking about the current issue, Education Uprising, and the forthcoming issue on media and storytellers. Sarah Van Gelder, also sometimes guest here on Positively Revolting.
Absolutely.
We have just a few minutes left. And David, we thank you so much for your time this morning. Go right ahead.
I was going to say, no, I'm delighted to be here. I'm glad that you're giving attention to these issues because, many places aren't and don't want to hear it. I've even found some of the public radio stations around the country, not all of them, but some of them that used to have me on a lot don't, and it's got to be because of kickback they're getting from donors who don't want to hear this stuff.
Well, you know, there's a big difference in the nonprofit radio world between public radio and community radio, because we are, in fact, the grassroots, and our donors are, you know, we are us, right? We are the grassrootsiest, and we rely on thousands of people to contribute $20, $80, $120, $360, $500, whatever it is they can afford. We all chip it in together, and that is what keeps the community radio station afloat. I want to maybe, there's a couple of different places, and we didn't have enough time to get to everything I want to talk about. There's a chapter in Divided that we kind of touched on earlier, but I think it's well worth amplifying, and it's to do with our future and the topic of education. There's a chapter, No Rich Child Left Behind, looking at wealth inequality and what that does in setting up really what I see as an ongoing intergenerational cycle of poverty for some and wealth for others.
Yes, well, this is the No Rich Child Left Behind points out that, you know, if you live in the best funded school districts in America, you get a very good education. That's about 15% of American children. But for vast numbers of children, that's not the case. And we are as unequal in our spending on education today as we were in the 1960s, when the courts repeatedly held around the country that unequal funding of education was violated various state constitutions. Nothing's changed. The courts have not gotten this enforced, and we pay a huge price for this. I have written about teachers who tell poor children, one of them in particular points to a wall where there are a glass, it's an old school, there are bookcases with glass windows and locks, and behind them are novels. And he says, those are not for you. And then he shows them movies. And the school district... Yeah, and I would argue the school district should be firing teachers like that, but many of the states have laws that make it very difficult to do so. And instead of fixing those laws, right-wing politicians rail about the failings of education, but not fixing things. And we need to recognize that we have turned college from what was largely a public service, just like roads and walking in the forest, into a money-making business for lenders.
hardly anybody had student debt when I was in my teens. But now it's common. My law students at Syracuse all have six figures of debt.
It's obscene.
Going out in the workplace, and when they go out in the workplace, having that debt means instead of buying a house and setting up a household and having a family, all their incentives are to not do that. And there's terrible long-term damage to the country from that. We need to recognize that education is an investment in America's future. We need to stop mining the future and shoring up existing fortunes to protect the already rich. And that is the overarching policy we're following right now. By the way, if you believe that the end of days is here, you know, Pat Robertson is saying that, and for him it's very possibly true, then I would argue all of our current policies make perfect sense.
That's and that's interesting, and we're going to have to end this at this moment.
Well, at least we can let out a jocular note.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, David.
David, thank you so much for making the time to join us this morning on Positively Revolting. It's always wonderful to talk to you, and we hope to do it again soon. Hope Good. To see you next Thursday at the First Unitarian Church here on Southwest 12th and Salmon, and tomorrow in Salem for folks around the Salem area at the public library at 3 p.m. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
It's David K. Johnston, folks.
And Pulitzer Prize winning author. And we would love to talk to Grace and to Teresa and to let people know that they could get a copy of Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality, the book we've just been talking about with David K. Johnston, for their $60 contribution. Is it not so?
Yes, indeed you can. That is the name of it, and that is the author. And, you know, this morning has been so warm, and Ani likes to make the word hezzy. And I can hear the robins chirping and a red-shafted northern flicker. And wake up, because it's time to join KBOO, because we need your shoulder to the wheel in this revolution. And this is how you do it. You call 877-500-5266. Don't let the spring fool you. Come on, it's going to be January before you know it, and you're going to have to
like
stay
by the night,
and
I think, is what
we have to get back our winter jackets on done by tonight.
Yeah, this is a faux. Don't fall for it.
It's 877-500-5266.
And Grace can tell you just called in.
Be like James, who just called us.
Yay,
and
James.
Renewed membership. Yay, James from Portland. So, yahoo.
Why don't you call now?
And he got the book. He got the book.
Yay.
Book. Here's the book, Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality. Boy, is it
a wonderful economics lesson.
And boy, do you need to know about it. I mean, we are just being sucked dry. It's edited by David K. Johnston, who you just heard. Over 30 leading economists, journalists, and scholars explore the most urgent issues of our times. So this is the stuff that will give you the ammunition to talk back against the people who are being brainwashed by Fox News. You need this book. 877-500-5266.
The people who are saying that we don't need $15 an hour minimum wage because it'll bring the prices up too much.
Oh, yeah.
Those
people. That is bunk. That is a line.
Total
and
bunk.
Here is
Total
the proof,
bunk.
And here are the details. And you can get it by calling us. And I would like to suggest that you spend 3 minutes on the phone with our people, who will be so glad to hear from you. They will fill out a form, they'll send it back to you. You know, you can use your credit card as well. Anything, whatever's easiest for you. But I like to suggest that $10 a month donation, because it's so painless and it works out to $120 a year for us. That means, you know, we haven't gone to the bank for 15 years because of sustaining donations.
It really helps us. So a $10 a month, if you can swing $15 a month, that's awesome too. Anything is really helpful. The main thing is you become a member, but the first thing you do is go to that phone, 877-500-5266, and make that call. We've got these great friendly people here dying to hear from you. They're all munching their croissants and drinking their tea, and you know, they want to hear from you.
It's,
make that
it's
call.
It's so important that we do this together. It is a community effort to support this community resource.
Two minutes left.
It's important that you give us a ring at 877-500-5266. Help put us over the top of our goal for today. It's so important that we do that so that we can keep this community radio station strong, so that KBOO can continue to be there on into the future, providing citizens, you know, people from our communities, with the training needed to become investigative journalists, to become community reporters, to host public affairs interviews, to do the audio work, the production work on field recording, and bringing in speeches from around the area,
live
keeping
music.
Things fresh. live music, all manner of inspirational bits and pieces to this radio station, and we do it with your funding.
Kicking billionaire butt since 1968.
In the grassrootsiest way around. Be one of our grassroots. It is so important that we continue to spread the support throughout the community. We understand that many people listening have never joined us before. Take this time to do it. Just say yes to community radio. You've been listening for a while. People tell me they'll stop me and I know your voice. You're on that
Friday
morning show.
You know, it sounds better when you're a member.
And then I'll talk to them and I'll ask them if they're members. And every now and again, I'll hit one that's sort of squidgy and kind of looks away. It's like, well, I haven't gotten around to that yet.
The whole station sounds better.
It's okay. Just do it now. Mm-hmm. All will be forgiven. Jump on in. And it's true what Lynn says. It does sound better after you yourself are an active supporter. It takes active support to continue this community resource. Does it not, Teresa?
Yeah, I'm going to try this.
877-500-5266.
Bring out your pledge. Bring out your pledge.
877-500-5266. Online, you can donate at kboo.fm. Become a member of KBOO. It's an empowering thing to do. It's a positive action for your future and the health of our entire community. That is what we do here at Community Radio. We keep independent news and information flowing to you right now. Give us that call. Just a few seconds left to support Positively Revolting this morning.
The number.
877-500-5266.
Do it.
Oh, that's right. 800. You all know it. You've heard it. You've heard it all morning.
877-500-5266.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:01 a.m. And stay tuned for APA Compass with special guest Jadeep. And you'll hear more about it in just a moment.
I played cards with the king and the queen. Shot them dice with old Jesse James. Shot them dice.
On Moving On, Friday, May 2nd, 12 noon to 1:30, I will be featuring the music of Lori Lewis. The San Francisco Bay Area was a high